Our music cut short this morning. We have 3 seconds left if everybody can find their seat. Welcome you this morning to the Lighthouse. If you're here in the building or online, we are so glad that you have made a choice to come and worship the Lord with us today. A few things we want to make you aware of is today the teenagers will be staying in service with us, so you get the privilege of hearing Pastor Joe this morning. Don't tune out. You might still hear something from the Lord, so stay with us. I do want to say we just got back from Tennessee, and we were able to watch the service online, and you guys had a great Father's Day service. Can we just give a hand? I know Brother Ryan's not here, but give him a hand. He delivered a great message, and everything just seemed to flow beautifully last Sunday, so we were glad to see that. We want to remind you, every other week we rotate services on Wednesday, so this week we are here in the building, and this is family night, so we have something for the kids. They do their Kids Academy classes, previously known as Sunday school. Now we call it Kids Academy on a Wednesday. And then our teenagers have their youth service, so bring a friend, invite someone out, all the way up through age 23. And then us adults are staying right here in this sanctuary, and we are starting our lesson on discipleship. So if you want to study ahead, the pamphlets are back at the Welcome Center. You can grab one. This is lesson one. I do believe we have 4 lessons, but knowing the way that we all talk, I think it'll take us longer than 4 weeks. So we're not going to rush through it. We're just going to take our time and see where it goes. I'm excited to dig into discipleship. Really, what is it? Because we're supposed to be doing it. So it's important that we know what we're supposed to be doing. So please, even if you've never came on a Wednesday night, come check it out. We encourage you to come be a part of that and learn with us together. And then also, Steadfast, which is our nursing home ministry, is today at 2 o'clock, and that is open to anyone. They love to see kids and teenagers and adults, so we just come and sing some songs, say some prayers. There's a short message, and then we just love on people. So you're welcome to join us. That is on 199 headed towards Upper Sandusky, and that is Skilled Nursing and Rehab Nursing Home. And then my last announcement is all of you kids for camp. If you've not registered, if you register by June 30th, you get a little bit of a better rate. So it's $135 for kid, $150 for teen if you register by June 30th. After June 30th, it goes up by $10. But you can always go to camp even the day of, so we don't ever turn kids away for camp. The camp will be towards the end of July. It is a great, great time. So even if you have grandkids, nieces, nephews, even if they don't go to church here, we would love for them to go to church because I believe that can be a life-changing experience. So encourage any kids you know, encourage them to get an application turned in for camp. We have a lot more announcements I'm not going to go into, but we do have an app, a Lighthouse app, and you can see Brother Jim, wave your hand, or Sister Elena in the back if you need help getting that downloaded so you can follow what we have going on through the app. I did want to make you aware that we were at our general convention down in Tennessee, and then it also had our National Talent Expo, and our kids were fabulous. If we could just give them a quick hand. So they had to win first, second, or third place at state to be able to go down to nationals. And down in nationals, I'm just going to read through this quickly, the kids who placed, but even the ones who did not place, did a phenomenal job ministering. But Peyton Malone got third place in teen female solo. Our teen human video got first place, which was quite a feat because there were a lot of human videos. And kid vocal solo for the males, Christian Malone got third, Lucas Malone got second. And finally, in our vocal ensemble, so the group songs, Allie, Tori, and Gracelyn singing together got first place. Let's just give them all one hand one more time. But more importantly than getting a trophy, I'm just proud that kids took time to minister. They're taking time to learn these songs and to learn these skits that are ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I always tell my children, and if I have time to tell other children, is it's not about the trophy. It's not about winning. It's about possibly impacting somebody's life by what you're saying or seeing or what you're doing. And so I'm so grateful that our kids or participating in that at such a young age. It is a blessing. And I want to open with a scripture this morning in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And this, I started thinking of this scripture based on something that Bishop Wayman Ming preached on Wednesday night. But the scripture I thought about, it says, "Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." And something that Bishop Ming was preaching about, he said one of the greatest hindrances to the body of Christ is when we make phrases like, "not now." Maybe we say, "we're too busy. I don't have time right now to do what I know God wants me to do." Or we say something like, "someday. Someday I'll do that. Someday I'll take the time to actually be obedient to what God's saying to me." Or you might say, "my best years are behind me." And none of that is true. God has a plan and purpose for your life right now. And if we want to see the church be effective in these evil days, we all need to be doing our part and asking God, "what do you want me to do right now?" Not just on a Sunday morning service, but the rest of the week when you wake up and where you're going. What are you doing for God? Don't tell him not yet. Don't tell him someday. But say, "God, here I am. Use me and do whatever you want to do." And I do want to encourage you, we had two great, great messages. Wednesday night, Bishop Ming, and Thursday night, our National Youth Director, Randy Lawrence, preached one of the best messages I think I've ever heard in my life. And he was just real about what's going on in this generation and what we need to do as adults and what the teens and kids need to be doing. And so if you get an opportunity, go and watch that. You can find it on YouTube. Their channel is We Are PCG, Pentecostal Church of God. We Are PCG. And you'll find that Assembly 2023, Bishop Ming, and then Randy Lawrence Jr., and you will be blessed by those messages. But right now we're going to pray over this offering, and we do have a slideshow to show you as we're bringing your offering. You can see some of the pictures of our teens and kids having a great time down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. So Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for who you are, that you are faithful, that you have a plan and purpose for each of us. And God, I just pray that you encourage each and every person today, Lord, to focus their life on you, not on what's going on around us, not what's happening in this world, but Lord, just that we will be focused on you and what you are calling from us, what you're requiring of us, Lord. Let us not live foolishly focused on the temporary, but God, let us be wise and focused on the eternal. Bless this offering for your kingdom. God, I just pray that it will change lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Time is filled with swift transition. Change. time this morning, I was thinking about how good it is that we can worship. We worship to remember who God is and to tell him that we love him. But as we come into corporate worship, it's awesome because we get to together encourage ourselves in the Lord, encourage each other in the Lord. So I encourage you today to speak these words in faith over your brothers and sisters. You know, as we come in, we don't know what each other are going through sometimes. So as we're singing this, as we're worshiping, as we're encouraging ourselves, let's encourage each other. We want to welcome you to come up if you want to worship. If you feel like standing by a brother or sister, put your hand on them and worship together and encourage each other. Let's do that this morning because we are the body, amen? And we get to worship together, and it's a blessing and it's a privilege as we worship together.
Oh, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
And
build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone needs compassion, the kindness of a Savior.
Mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations.
Author of salvation.
yours through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses. Hallelujah. The one who opened up the oceans. I need you now to be. When we're weak, we trust in Him, and He is faithful. He is worthy. He is mighty this morning. Let's worship Him. You're worthy, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Your name.
They were just teaching me to depend on your strength in the dark days. All my tears got me crying out to you again. What if, baby, every broken place I've been was a godsend? Whoa, whoa. It was a godsend, yeah. Godsend, more mountains that I need your help to move. Godsend me through the storm just to get me back to you. Godsend me to my knees just to bring me close to you. Every closed door, every single sharp thorn, every answer that didn't make sense. What if, maybe, they were just teaching me to depend on your strength in the dark days? All my tears got me crying out to you again. What if, maybe, every broken place I've been was a godsend? Whoa, 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 it was a godsend. Even if I didn't know it then, it was a godsend. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Even if I didn't know it then, it was a godsend.
Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands and give God some praise right now? Let's just worship Him. Come on, let's open our mouths and give Him our best praise this morning. Isn't He worthy of it? Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay or earthen vessels to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not of us. Now think about this. This was the message she was just sharing with you as she sung. Did you hear the words? It was a godsend. The Bible says we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. We have a treasure inside of us, that no matter what we are facing, no matter what we are going through, no matter the heartache, the frustration, the pain, it is God working in us and through us to reveal His glory to the world around us. For that alone, church, we should lift our hands and give Him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give You glory. We give You honor. We give You praise, Lord. We love You, Lord Jesus. We love You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give You praise, Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all quiet on me today. It makes a Pentecostal pastor nervous sometimes. It is good to be back with you, and we missed you, but we actually were with you online, like Pastor Alicia said, and we enjoyed the service and enjoyed what God did in your lives. How many know that God moved in your life last Sunday? And how many know that this Sunday is no different? That every time we come together, the presence of God wants to stir in us move in us and do something different in us and transform us. And so I'm excited about today. I'm excited about what God's already been preparing your hearts for. We are going to dismiss just our nursery, and the juniors are going to. All right. So the teens are staying in here. Your teen pastors took a vacation after our general assembly. They needed it. It's a lot of work organizing all that and getting people together and getting people where they need to be. And those of you that weren't there, you probably don't understand what the setting was like, but we were in a convention center, and there was probably, well, there was like two main rooms that we were working in between, and then there were like multiple small rooms that they had different things going on. And so it was a very busy week, and you had some kids that were competing in the Talent Expo in room one, and you had some in room two, and we were running back and forth. And then we also had a couple Bible quiz teams from Ohio that we wanted to support and cheer on. They actually did an amazing job. The one primary young man, I think was his name, Isaiah? I can't remember his name. He was from BHC, Breakthrough Harvest Church. He got top quizzer in the nation. It's pretty amazing. And then our juniors from that church, they got fourth overall as a team. And their best quizzer also got fourth, top quizzer in the nation. And so we were running back and forth the Bible quizzing, and they had some leadership labs going on. We were able to make one of those in between everything. But it's the logistics of that can be interesting at times, trying to keep track of that. And if you've ever tried to watch children in a venue like that, you know it's like herding cats, right? Where did that one go? Now that one's gone. I had them in the place they're supposed to be, and this one's gone, right? And so but it was good to be there, and I'm excited about what God's doing in the PCG globally. You have to understand, every once in a while, it's good for us to pause and get a glimpse of this. This church is not the only church. Now, I'm real big on about helping you recognize that, especially in this area. We're not the only church in this area. How many know that if they're not against this, they're for us? That's right. Right? If we preach Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and we preach faith in that, we can join together with anyone. Amen? And so that's the key, right? And so we're always talking about that. But you need to understand that globally, we are a part of a very strong church. Just the Pentecostal Church of God itself is in over 70 nations. And our general bishop, Bishop Ming, has a vision for us that across this next decade of harvest in the 2020s, that's what he calls it, the decade of a harvest. Don't you love that? Y'all sleep on me? Not across the next decade of harvest. That's what he calls it. That we are going to be in 100 nations. That's his goal. And they even have a research and development group working overseas right now in Africa, finding out what is the next step, what is the next place. They've already moved. That we have a very strong presence in Kenya. As you know, we helped plant two churches last year, launched two churches in Kenya. That's a growing district of the Pentecostal Church of God. But since we have such a strong presence in Kenya, we now have moved into the neighboring country, Uganda. And we have already launched a church in Uganda. And there are their boots on the ground doing research of where we can, how we can strengthen Uganda and the next nation we can move to. And there was nations upon nations represented at our global General Assembly. It was amazing to see all the people come together, and it's exciting to see what God's doing. And so we're in 75 nations already. And when we started in 2020, we weren't there. So we're already gaining ground, just so you know. I want to just share some of this with you so you guys can go, hey, hallelujah. The kingdom of God is advancing. Amen. Even in our hardest days, we need to know as we walk by faith that the kingdom of God is advancing. And so we have that program going on. And so he's believing for that. He's believing in this country, in the United States of America, 1,000 next generation leaders. That's under 30. We're looking for leaders to rise up inside of us. And that's what Talent Expo is all about, right? And we are so adamant here. And I was so proud of our kids as they went and quote unquote competed. I said, no, just have fun and worship Jesus. And they did. They got up there. They didn't care that there were people in front of them. They were doing it for Jesus Christ. Amen. And so that's what that's about. We're also believing God for 10,000 churches, new churches and pastors over this decade of harvest. And we're believing for 1 million Christ followers, 1 million Christ followers from 2020 to 2030. Amen. And this is the goal and the not just the goal, but the vision that God's given our bishop over the PCG. And we heard about that a lot. Another thing I want to share with you is that kind of gets overlooked a lot because these people are the type of people who they just get after it. They work. They don't ask for any recognition. They don't ask for any notoriety because it's just their heart. And we have a huge group of chaplains and the Pentecostal Church of God across all kinds of arenas. We have hospice chaplains, we have police chaplains, we have different various chaplains outside, but we have a big presence in the military. Air Force, Coast Guard, Marines, Navy, and who I'm missing? Army. We have chaplaincies that are licensed Pentecostal Church of God ministers that they are their boots on the ground with our soldiers, leading them spiritually as they sacrifice and give their lives for this nation. Yeah. And I love it because every night when altar service, you can just see the heart of these people because they ask them to wear, you know, some type of dress. Some guys were in fatigue, some were in dress uniform. It was cool to see, but every altar service, man, these chaplains, especially those military chaplains, man, they were up there laying hands on people, praying for them. God was moving. At one point, I saw three young men that were chaplains grab hands together, begin to pray, and another chaplain that wasn't a military chaplain that, get this is just how God works, that you could tell he was of Middle Eastern descent. Middle Eastern descent. He steps in, puts his arms around these three soldiers that are chaplains. And then all of a sudden they realize who's praying for him and they open the circle and grab his hand. It was a beautiful picture to me of saying, no. The world may be at war, but the kingdom of God is taking over in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. It was amazing to see that. I got to stand right beside it. I was just like, wow, God, this is pretty cool. And so there's a lot of great stuff going on. They gave me a hat. The chaplaincy gave me a hat. And I want you to be praying for this. It just says Jesus 22. And when Alicia looked at it, she's like, do they realize it's 2023? Not 2022. I said, it's not about the year. What does Jesus 22 mean? And why would the chaplains, and especially military chaplains, be passing out hats that says Jesus 22. Because every day there are veterans, 22 veterans, that take their own life in our country. That's a staggering statistic. Men and women who served us and put their lives on the line for us and saw their comrades give their life. Every day, 22 of them take their life. And so what the hat is a reminder that Jesus 22, Jesus is the answer for the 22 vets that have no hope. Jesus is their hope. And so I want you to begin to pray with us, not just our organization, but this church. Let's pray for our veterans. They need support. They need love. They need help. If you have an avenue that you can help veterans, you need to step in and do that. God has opened a door for you. That's why that avenue, that door is there. You need to do it. But if not, you can pray. Amen? And let's pray for them and believe that God is going to change that statistic in our country. You know, God is the God of a turnaround. Amen? He can turn things around in one moment. And I believe in the power of prayer. And as we pray, God hears us and moves. And so I just wanted to give you some of that information. It was great information we got, that we are marching forward. We are moving ahead. God is moving. We had a great General Assembly. There was, you know, always discussion at business, personal opinions. People think this, people think that. And how many know, isn't it great that after we have that discussion, and sometimes you have to fight things through in an open format with prayer, and at the end of it, you go, hallelujah, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're just going to believe that God helped us figure out the best way we need to do things. See, we need to stop leaving situations offended, church. Well, I didn't get my way. So what? Big deal. Is your life over? No. Can you still function as a child of God? Yes. Let's do it. Y'all got real quiet on me. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a long morning, because I already know what God wants me to preach. And it's going to be one of them hard messages. Maybe that's why y'all so quiet already. God's preparing your heart. Amen. But listen. Listen to me very carefully. We live in the hour and in a generation where it's time for the people of God to rise up. Yes. Not rise up in this great power in the sense of, well, we're just going to take over and do what we want. No. We're going to rise up and be people who aren't like everybody else. Amen. Well, that hurt my feelings, so I'm never going to talk to them again. No, we're going to be people who, I don't care how many times you hurt our feelings, we carry it back to the Lord. He pours in the oil and the wine. That balm of Gilead heals us. We go right back to that same person. We grab them and squeeze them and love them and hug them and say, hey, we are here for you. And you can cut me and cut me, but I'm not going anywhere, because my Savior set the example and he hung and died on the cross. And if he can do that, then I can keep coming back to you and loving you. Amen? Amen. That's what's going to change the world. We live in an era of public opinion, the dominance of public opinion, and how when we don't agree, we're enemies. Let me tell you something. When we begin to shift that thinking inside the church, we will change the world. We will change the world. Amen? So I'm excited about what God's doing and what God's doing here. And so I just want to say it's always great to see that the church is still active and moving and things going on. Thank you all who were a part of last week's service and the breakfast we had for fathers. Thank you all for the people who worked so hard and diligently at Target. We also watched, we didn't watch that live, but we watched it after the fact. It was a good Target service. Thank you all. And thank you all that helped and chipped in. And we ministered to a family in their time of grief, when there was a funeral taking place and we had a funeral dinner. And so there's a lot going on while there was a lot going on outside of Cary, Ohio, in this church. And that is what the beauty of a church family is, isn't it? Let's just give God some praise with a hand clap of seeing everything that he's doing in us. And that's exciting. Now, if you have your word with you this morning, or you can look on the screen, we're going to first go to Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, and I want to lay a little bit of groundwork before I begin to minister, because, like I said, this is going to be a hard word this morning. This is going to be a word that challenges you. It challenges your thinking, and I'm just going to give you the title that God gave me. Don't just get saved. Don't just get saved. Now, I wanted to be a little bit more provocative and frustrate you a little bit more, and the Holy Ghost said, don't do that. But I was going to title it, Don't Get Saved. And they're like, well, the Bible says we're supposed to get saved. Oh, yeah, I know that. Don't just get saved. Why am I saying that this morning? Because we live in a generation that has become immune to the word saved. Do you realize that it's only looked at as a religious activity now? Just something that you do in the church. Get saved. You know that there are people who profess themselves to be Christians that they don't even know what that term means. They think getting saved means shaking the pastor's hand after you repeated a prayer after him, getting baptized however the church baptizes, signing their book on the dotted line, and paying your tithe every week. And now I'm saved. No. Those are just religious activities, and if you have not really truly been saved, then you are just doing something that someone has told you or taught you to do. And therefore, you haven't really come to the realization and understanding of what getting saved is all about. So I want to challenge you this morning, don't just get saved. Don't preach just a get saved message. Now, before I go into this, I want to tell you, I am a firm believer of leading people in what we quote unquote call the sinner's prayer, okay? Why do I believe in that? Because that's how I received my first experience with Jesus. And I knew that God had touched my life at that moment. I will never forget that moment. I can't tell you what day it was. I don't know what hour it was. I don't know any of that, like the old song says. It has everybody stand up. If it was Monday and then people stand up, you know what song I'm talking about. If it was Tuesday and then people stand up. I don't know what day it was. But one thing I'll never forget is when God touched me.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. I had an experience with God. So I'm not against doing what we call the sinner's prayer. Just so you know, though, that's not in the Bible. You can't find that in Scripture. It is a means or a method we use to help people receive what is in the Bible. And if we're not careful, we will lead people astray. Listen to me closely. And we will make them think they are okay. Because I repeated this prayer with this person and now they told me I'm saved. Great. Cool. My understanding with that means I must be good with God. I don't know what saved means. I hear people say that terminology all the time. The only thing I can do is equate it to some religious activity. So I'm good to go because I said the prayer. Awesome. And people go on their way living the very same life they lived before they met some Christian who told them to repeat after me. Except now, they have a false belief that everything's going to be okay because I'm okay with God now because that guy, that girl, they led me in that prayer and that's what they told me. I'm going to tell you right now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, not as a pastor, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I have an issue with that. Because we leave people with a misunderstanding of who Jesus is, how Jesus works, what Jesus does. And the truth be told, if we look in Scripture, when people came to Jesus himself and said, I'm going to follow you now. His first response most of the time was, are you sure you want to do that? You sure? Well, I'm going to, but let me go take care of this. No, you don't want to follow me then. If you got to go back and take care of this, if you got to go back and deal with this in your life, if you got to go, no, then you don't want to follow me. It's either right now or nothing. Now, I know I'm paraphrasing scripture, but most of you know what I'm talking about. There was even one moment where he said such a hard word to a very large group of people who were claiming to be his followers. He said, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you will have no part of me. And they all said, we can't do that. Do you realize he was talking to Jewish people and that was going directly against the Jewish law? When he made that statement, they couldn't eat anything with the blood in it. He said, you eat of my body and drink of my blood. Unless you do that, you will have no part of me. And they were offended and said, I cannot accept that word. And they turned and walked away from Jesus. And he turned to Peter and the rest of the disciples and said, are you going to go too? Do you understand what he meant by that? It wasn't him saying, well, I'm going to change it for you, Peter, if you leave to make you more comfortable because I really like you. No, no, no. He was giving him a mandate right there. Will you accept my word or will you also turn your back on me? Because if you do, I'm still going to stand here and preach the word of God. I'm still going to stand here and proclaim what God told me to proclaim. It's not on me because you didn't understand it. It's not on me because you didn't take it the right way. It's not on me because you thought it was a hard word. I'm going to tell you the truth. Can you get that this morning? Can you see our Savior? He wasn't trying to conform things and make things easier for people so that they would come and follow him. No, he made it as hard as possible because he wanted to know that they had made a commitment to him. So the title of my sermon this morning is don't just get saved. Don't just come do some religious activity and think you're okay. Don't think that everything's all right because you come here on Sunday morning. Our young people are in here and they watch us. They see us. They see so many people. If this hits you, I'm not talking about anybody specifically right now, okay? I'm not. I have no one in my heart, in my mind, that I'm pointing this towards. I'm just hearing what the Holy Ghost is telling me to say. So if this hits you, don't get mad at me or offended at me. You go to God and say, I'm sorry, God. And I'm turning around. But there are people that they watch, these young people watch, and they see how they act in the church house. And then they see how they act outside of the church house. And what they do inside the church house doesn't align with what they do outside of the church house. You want to talk about gender confusion? You want to talk about a confused world? A messed up world that doesn't understand what's right and wrong and up and down? Let's talk about the church first. We have created confusion in the next generation because what we say out of our mouths and what we do inside of a church building is not what we say and do outside of the church building. Amen. Because we're playing this game of just being saved. Well, the grace of God is sufficient. Yeah, it is. Thank God. Otherwise, he'd have struck you down already. Dealing with your nonsense. Dealing with my nonsense. We want to point our finger at the world when really we should be looking at ourselves and saying, am I just playing games with God? Do I want to take care of my stuff over here? Do my little thing over here Monday through Saturday and just come here on Sunday and play the church game? See, I'm all about the stuff that we are doing in here and doing in our church. And I'm so grateful we have young people that come here and are involved in our church. But if we set that example, church, then what they think is I need to learn how to perform inside the church so that I get hand claps from people. And then when I go outside of the church, I can live any way I want to live. Because that's how they do it. Don't just get saved. Don't just say some prayer and imagine in yourself, I'm okay with God now. And don't you dare leave someone else with that understanding. See, yes, the Bible says in Romans here, I told you it's going to be a hard word. But I want to stir you. My point is to stir you. This is an evangelistic message for you this morning. It's not a pastoral message. I heard the Spirit tell me this morning. He said, you're going to preach an evangelistic message to your people. The Bible tells the pastor, Timothy, do the work of the evangelist. I'm doing the work of the evangelist this morning because we've been talking about outreach and talking about evangelism. And I'm going to stir your heart this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit to get outside of yourself, to stop whining and complaining about your own situation and realize it's the glory of God working through your trials, working through your things that you're going through, so that God can reveal himself to the world that you really are saved. You're not just playing some game. You really are saved. Romans 10:13 says this as they put it on the screen. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We take that scripture. We love that scripture. We hold on to that scripture. And then, unfortunately, we get into this repetitive state of life where it's stunted growth as a Christian. And we live this and this alone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the damsel in distress philosophy. Whenever I'm in trouble, let me just call on Jesus and he'll save me. Whenever I have an issue, just let me call on Jesus and he'll save me. Now, the rest of the time, it doesn't matter because I got my stuff together and I'll take care of me and I can do what I want. But when I get in trouble and it's above what I can handle and above what I can do, then I'll call upon the name of the Lord and he'll save me. Do you think the church, even though it's female, was designed to be the damsel in distress alone? No. Puts me in mind of fairy tale stories where the princess awaits her rescuer to save her from the situation. When the rescuer comes, everything is good. And what's the rest of the story? Girls, they live happily ever after, right? Why is that though? Because the damsel is not in distress anymore. The damsel has been rescued. Now, if you play Mario, I just never understood this. Every Mario they create, Princess Peach is in trouble again. For you Mario players, you know what I'm talking about. And then you beat the castle where some ugly things got her, whatever that creature is, Bowser or whoever it is, and she still gets taken every time until you beat the whole game. And then they come out with another game and that silly girl's in a mess again. You got to rescue her again and again and again and again. And I'm thinking to myself, why don't you ever do something about this, Princess Peach? Now you all laugh, but what about the church? Oh, Jesus, help us, save us, save us. Help me, help me, save me, save me. And every problem we run into, that's how we treat Jesus. Like a get out of jail free card. Oh, I need you now, Jesus. I need you now because my world's turned upside down. So I need you now. But when everything's going good, when everything's cool, then I don't need you, Jesus. I can do what I want to do. I can live how I want to live. And yet we get ourselves in trouble again because we start playing with the world. We start messing with the ideologies of this system we live in and we think we can because we have been saved. Now I'm being passionate about this morning because I'm sick and tired of people who are supposed to be the children of God being wrapped up, tied up, bound by things over and over and over in their life when Jesus, the rescuer, the Savior, has already set them free from it. Have you ever seen the video where the shepherd goes and gets the sheep out of the ditch and the sheep jumps twice and then jumps right back in the ditch again? You ever seen that video? It is so silly, isn't it? But isn't that us? That's us. Jesus comes and pulls us out. We take two steps and we're back in. Now his grace is sufficient, so he pulls us out again. And maybe this time we take three steps and we're back in the ditch. So he pulls us out again, we take five steps and we're back in the ditch. Then he pulls us out again, we only take one step and we're back in the ditch. Why is that? Why do these things happen in our life? It's because we have this mentality, as long as I'm saved, I'm okay. Don't just get saved. There's more to it than that. If your relationship with Jesus is just simply Savior, Rescuer, then that's superficial and you have not dived into the depths of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as your pastor, I am not okay with leaving you stay in that mode. I want to push you and provoke you to love and good works, like Hebrews says, and to go deeper with Jesus and have a more meaningful relationship with Him than just the Savior. Because he also wants to be your Lord. This is what Jesus says. Let's go to John chapter 3. To me, this is one of the greatest theological chapters in the Bible because we get to see the theology of Jesus Christ. We get to see the whole picture of what it means to preach the good news. We're just going to read six verses here. How am I doing on time? Six verses, starting in verse 1, it says this. Now there was a man of the Pharisees. Let me stop for a minute so you understand what that means. Of a religious group of people that had studied the scriptures, and Nicodemus was his name, and all his life he had been trained in the scriptures. That means that he had been trained in the first five books of the Bible and also all of the prophecies that had been spoken by the prophets of Israel and Judah. And he'd also been trained in the Psalms. He knew what the Bible said. He is a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees believed in the supernatural power of God. You have to understand that. That's important. There was a group called the Sadducees. They did not believe in the supernatural power of God. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe that those things happened. I don't know how they explained Moses. I don't know how they explain Moses, but for some reason, maybe they were just like, well, that was for Moses' day and not our day. I'm trying to be nice right now. There's some people that kind of have that position now in the church, isn't it? Well, yes, there were miracles. They happened in the Bible days, but not now. No, God is a miracle-working God. Can I get an amen? Amen. But the Pharisees, they believed in the power of God. And so Nicodemus comes to him. Now, I wanted to preface that so you understood where he's coming from. And not only is he a Pharisee, but he's also a ruler of the Jews. That means that he's one of the head Pharisees. This man came to Jesus, by night. Everybody say night. Undercover. He didn't want people knowing he was coming and talking to this guy. He was too radical for the Jews. Secret meetings. I don't like secret meetings. He says to them, Rabbi, we know. Now, this is perfect. Here's how you can tell the stance of the Pharisees. Even though publicly what they said was totally different. Remember what I said? They act one way in church and another way outside of church, right? Here's how you know what the stance of the Pharisees really was. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus, he says, we know that you are a teacher come from God. They realize he was God sent. For no one can do these signs or miracles that you do unless God is with him. Now, I love this because Jesus doesn't address the fact that they're hiding their closet believers, right? I mean, come on. That's what the Pharisees are saying right now. Well, we're closet believers. We're not going to say publicly that we know you're a teacher from God, but we do know because we've studied the scripture and it's obvious to us. He doesn't even address the fact that they are dealing with this. He doesn't address the fact that they're coming against him. This is what we would do, wouldn't it? This is how we would handle this. Well, if you know we're from God, then why do you publicly accuse me of not being from God? And why do you attack me? And why do you show up to all my meetings and berate me? And me. Isn't that what we would do? Jesus doesn't even acknowledge that. He doesn't even pay attention to that. He doesn't even go into the debate with Nicodemus. Because that's what Nicodemus was doing. He was baiting him in to let's have this argument. Because this is what we do as Pharisees. This is what we do as religious leaders, is we argue the scriptures over and over and over again. Jesus wasn't there to argue the scripture. Jesus was there to be the scripture. That's good preaching for the church today. Don't sit there and argue and debate scriptures. You just be the scripture. You be Jesus right before their eyes. Maybe I'll get through this message this morning. Maybe I won't. There's a lot of good stuff packed in here. Let me keep going. So he says this, and Jesus answered him, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless someone is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, there's two aspects to seeing here. First is to be part of it, right? To be in it and part of it and to be part of what this kingdom is and to actually go to heaven. Because that's what they were thinking about when they said kingdom of God. But the other part is this. It cannot even be revealed to you that there is a kingdom of God unless you're born again. See, Christians, stop getting so upset that sinners sin. Do monkeys eat bananas? Do ducks waddle? The expression is, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck, then what is it? It's a duck. Right? Sinners are going to sin. Now, here's the thing. People get so offended if you call them a sinner. Don't they? Well, hello? That's what all of us are before we get Jesus. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what I don't understand, why people get so offended. Man, if I have a revelation that something's wrong, like for instance, if I cut myself shaving on a Sunday morning and I use a little piece of toilet paper to stop the bleeding and I'm standing up here preaching and you all are watching me, you ain't going to hear a word I say. You're going to be focused on that little piece of toilet paper. And here's the problem. Some of you ain't going to say a word to me. Some of you are just going to be like, oh my goodness. Oh, he's coming close. Don't look. No. If there's something wrong, tell me. That's how I am. Now, sometimes I think I've embarrassed people because I'm just trying to help them. One time I was at a place and brother's zipper was down. I just walked up to him and said, hey, brother, your zipper's down. Oh, thank. He thanked me. He didn't want to go walking around like that. Right. People don't need to go walking around in their sin. If we don't tell them, come on, right? Something's wrong with me, I want to know. And I'm not going to be offended that you told me it's wrong. I want to fix it. How do I fix it? Well, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you can't even see that there is another kingdom. You want to know why people are so naturally minded, earthly minded? It's because they're not even aware that there's another kingdom. They can't even see it. And the Bible teaches us that it doesn't matter how much talking we do, how eloquent our speech is, how amazing our theology is, they will never come to see the kingdom of God if not by the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm telling you, don't tell people to just get saved. Don't just do this whole religious act with them and play this game with them and teach them your doctrine and tell them how much better your way is than their way. No, you get a hold of God until you're full of the Holy Ghost and power. And then when you speak, make sure it's the power of God coming out of you. And let the Holy Spirit minister to that person, because they can't see it unless they're born again. What's it mean to be born again? Let's go into this. What's the rest of the conversation here? Man, this is all such good preaching. I got to keep moving. So Nicodemus said to him, verse 4, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, here's the thing. This guy is a lifetime studier of the Bible. Now, it wasn't called that then, just so you know. It was the Torah. He was even a studier of the oral law of God. He knew all of this stuff. And he's asking a simple question of the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't even get it. Why? He can't see it because he's not born again. He can only see the natural world. He doesn't see the spiritual world of the kingdom of God. He's confused. How can I be born again? You mean I got to go back into my mother's womb again? No, that's a natural birth. I'm not talking about a natural birth. So this is what he says here. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter. Now he's talking about entering, not just seeing, but entering the kingdom of God. Now, people want to dispute this passage of scripture. They want to fight over this. Well, unless you're baptized in water, you can't get to heaven. That's what that says. No, that is not what this says. Look at the context of the scripture. Nicodemus is talking about a natural birth. Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth. So Jesus tells him, unless you have both, you can't enter the kingdom of God. When you are born of water, all you mamas know the water breaks. Hello, baby's coming. Born of water. When you are born of water, you are born into this natural world. When you are born of the Spirit, you are born into the kingdom of God. The Holy Ghost comes inside of you, awakens you, and you become a brand new person. Say, well, how do you know that Jesus is saying that? How do you know it's not talking about water baptism? Well, first of all, it doesn't say unless you're baptized. It says unless you're born of water. But let's read the next verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, you have this contrast throughout the context of the scripture. A back and a forth, a back and a forth. Nicodemus is saying, how can I be born again? Do I enter my mother's womb again? And I'm an old man. I can't do that. That's impossible. How do I do that? That's a natural birth. Jesus says, no. What's born of water is natural. But what was born of spirit is spiritual. If it's born of the water or the flesh, a natural birth, then it's flesh. You came into existence in this world, but now you must be born again, which is a birth in the spiritual world. And then that tells us that we don't need to just get saved, but we need a born again experience. I don't want to just pray prayers with people, shake their hands, have them sign on the dotted line. And y'all should know me by now. I'm really not going to force people to pay their tithe. I think that's ludicrous. Because if you're born again, you're going to give. It's in you. It's in you. You're going to hear the Spirit of God say, hey, take that $20 out of your pocket and go shake that guy's hand with it right now. It's in you. It's inside of you. You're going to give, not just to the church. You're going to give to people. I even believe sometimes it's going to be the coat on your back. You know you got three of them at home. That guy don't have a coat at all. Take it off and give it to him. So I really don't care about the tithe thing. I really don't care about you signing on the dotted line thing. I'll shake your hand all day long because I love you. But that is not what gets you saved. A born again experience is a rescuing experience, but that's just the first part of it. Jesus reaches down into the grave that you were living in. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, is what the Bible says. You were not alive unto God. You were dead unto God. And you were the walking dead, walking and living in this earth, dead unto God, only alive to a natural world. And one day the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit and power of the resurrection, showed up at your tomb, knocked on your door, rolled away the stone, lifted you up out of that grave, and breathed life into you. That is the born again experience. The Spirit of God now lives inside of you. Know you not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. A born again experience means that not only have you been born of the flesh, but you've also been born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. So let's go back to Romans here. Why does time go so fast when I'm preaching? When I was driving back home from Tennessee, it took forever. Now I'm preaching and just... Romans 10. Let's start in verse 8. A lot of times we want to start in verse 9. Let's start in verse 8. Because I like this. But what does it say? He's asking the question. What does the Word of God say? The Word is near you. Even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. So the word is accessible. Jesus said, the kingdom of God, that means it's available to grab it right now. Get it right now. How do we do it? By what we speak, right? So he says, the word of God is at hand, or it's there, it's accessible. And how do we get the word of God? What we proclaim by faith. Faith. Then verse 9 says, because of that, right? The word is available to us. And if we declare it by faith, then if you confess with your mouth that you believe in Jesus, everything's okay. No, that's not what the Bible says. But isn't that what we teach? Isn't that what we teach? Just say that you believe in Jesus, and when you do that, you'll be saved. And guess what? Everything in life will be wonderful and beautiful, and all your problems will go away. Are you kidding me? What a false doctrine. What a false ideology. Because in the first hard time that anybody faces after they have confessed they believe in Jesus, they're going, wait a minute here. I thought everything was okay now. Why do I have this issue? Why do I have this problem? Because that's not what the Bible says. Well, let's make it easy for people to come to church, Pastor Joe. Let's make them comfortable. Listen, I'm all about doing things that can help people be comfortable. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There should be a spirit of God that's amongst our service that disrupts our comfortability and challenges us. And we should leave here every Sunday and every Wednesday when we come together, challenged in our heart to live for God even more than we did last week. So I don't want to preach a word to you that just makes you comfortable and pat you on the back all the way to hell. Ouch. Ouch. No. I want to preach a word that's going to stir you and provoke you and say, hey, I can live for Jesus more. More today than I did yesterday. More this week than I did last week. More this month than I did last month. More this year than I did last year. This is what the Bible says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, everybody say Lord. Lord. Do you know what Lord means? It means He's in control. He's in charge. What He says you do, what He tells you not to do, you don't do it. He's Lord. And believe in your heart. What are we believing in our heart? Not that Jesus exists, but that God raised Him from the dead. That's why I told you Easter Sunday morning, I have a problem with us saying that you can be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection. The Bible says you have to believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. So you confess Him Lord of your life and you believe in your heart that He is alive. I sound like I'm 13 for a minute there. He is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Jesus is not dead. This is what separates us from every world religion. People want to say, well, how do we know what's the way? How do we know what's the truth? How do we know that the Christian way is the way? Because our God's still living. And they tried to kill Him and they couldn't. Every other philosopher and teacher of any other world religion is dead. They still have the tomb. They still have the grave that they go to. And He's in there. She's in there. The leader's in there. Not ours. Not ours. Jesus is alive. How can we be born of the Spirit? Because He was resurrected by that same Spirit, ascended to God, so that the Holy Ghost could descend and come down and be with us and come live inside of us. And that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead comes alive inside of us. Hallelujah! That gets me riled up inside. That's how we know it is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come unto the Father, which is God, except but by me. Other leaders said, I point to the truth. The one says, I seek the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. This is how we know it is the truth, the way. How do we really get saved? Not just get saved, just saved. How do we get rescued? By making Jesus our Lord and confessing and believing in our heart that He's alive. For with the heart one believes, verse 10, and is justified, just if I'd not sinned, right? And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So what does saved mean then? If it's more than just a handshake, sign on the dotted line, pay my tithe, go to church every Sunday, I'm good to go. What does saved mean? It means that I'm rescued. I'll never forget two things in my travel doing missions work. One was at a school in Kenya. Lady claimed to be a Christian. She was the headmaster of the school. She claimed, I am a Christian. But they said that we could not talk about salvation in the school. They wouldn't let us teach that. And I remember my friend going, but you said you're a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm of the Christian faith. But you're not going to, well, we understood what happened. We had the yes, the go ahead, the go do it. But then there were some Muslim families that had control because they had been giving a lot of money to the school. They came in and said, what is this activity, this religious activity you're doing? And what are they teaching? I heard it's Christianity and we don't want that. And it's okay if they come in, but don't tell them about this salvation. We don't like that part. And this lady who claimed that she was a Christian looked us bold face and said, what are you saving them from? I thought, my God. What are we doing as the church if people who profess to be Christians don't even understand what Jesus has rescued us from? What are you saving them from? With her accent, when they speak English, they speak like the queen, the king's English. What are you saving them from? I was like, oh my goodness. You don't even know the simplicity of the gospel, yet you call yourself a Christian. We're saving them from eternal judgment. We're saving them from sin. We're saving them from a heartache in this world. We're rescuing them that when bad things happen to them, that they're not alone and think they're all by themselves, but there's someone that cares, that's with them, that there's a spirit that comes and lives inside of them that helps them overcome these things. What are we saving them from? We're saving them from everything. That's what salvation is. To just get saved is not enough, guys. Girls, it's not enough. I don't want to just get saved. I want to be rescued completely and made whole again. That which was not whole, that which was incomplete, is now whole. It's complete because the Spirit of God came inside of me and completed me. I love my wife, but she doesn't complete me. I'm sorry, but I get so frustrated with those things. Oh, my soulmate, she completes me. That's an idol. Preach, Pastor Joe, that's good preaching. Yes, it is. That's an idol. That you put a relationship in a person above everything else? No, 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 no. Jesus Christ is that person. Jesus Christ is that relationship. It is His Spirit that completes us. If we want to find wholeness, body, soul, spirit, where we are whole, then we must have Jesus Christ. So I'll never forget her asking that question. What are you saving them from? I thought, Lord Jesus, help us. And then a second moment I had when in my travels, I was in the airport. I think I shared this with you. It was just last year. I believe it was just last year. And I'm headed back. It's when the Queen of England had passed. And I met this lady in the airport. She was British. She was from England. And I could tell she had been suffering through the loss of her queen. She was a little bit emotional that day, I could tell. And she asked me why I was in Kenya, and I said, well, I'm on a mission trip. Oh, that's great. You know, when you tell people you're on a mission trip, everybody's like, oh, that's so wonderful. That's so awesome. What did you do on your mission trip? They think I'm going to tell them that I fixed a building, I painted something for somebody, I gave somebody food, I brought medical care. I said, no, I preached Jesus to people. She said, what? I said, yeah, we had a big crusade. We had several hundreds of thousands of people get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And she goes, oh, are you one of those born again Christians? I didn't say this out loud. My mama taught me good. All right. If my mama hadn't taught me good, I'd have said this out loud. I said, is there any other kind? That's what I thought. Are you one of those born again Christians? I said, is there any other kind of Christian? Like, how can you be a Christian and not be born again? Right? Like, I'm dumbfounded by that question. So I had to pause for a minute there, and I said, yes, ma'am, I am born again. She goes, oh, I don't know about that. I thought to myself, too bad. You don't know about this. This is the only way to live life. You must be born again. Those are the words of Jesus. But when we get so religious, church, we get so religious, salvation is just about Romans. But let me go through the Romans Road with you. I love the Romans Road. I think it's a great tool. If you don't know what the Romans Road is, look it up. You can go through the whole book of Romans. It'll walk you through the path of salvation. But sometimes people want to stop before they get to Romans 8. Romans 8, man, is the key to salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who what? Walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Walk not after the flesh. Thank you. I said that backwards. I got so excited about the Spirit part. I want to talk about the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit. We don't walk after the flesh anymore. We are filled with the Spirit. We are born again. We have the Spirit of adoption, is what Romans 8 says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Father, my Father, He is our heavenly Father now. How is that? Because we have been born of the Spirit, just as Jesus was born of the Spirit.
Yes, amen.
And that's how we can say, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Romans road is great, but people want to stop short and they don't want to look at chapter 8. It's the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We must be born again. I don't want to just be saved. And I don't want to get into this mentality that every Sunday I have to come and repent of my sin because I need Jesus to rescue me. Now, if that's where you're at right now, make sure you get to the altar every time you're here. I'm not condemning you for that. Sometimes we live there for a while until we get a greater or fuller revelation of who Jesus is. And I'll tell you this, don't wait until there's an altar call. Don't wait until I'm done preaching. Don't wait until there's an invitation during worship. Don't even wait for the first song. If that's where you're living and you know that's where you're living, then when you get into this building, you get right up here and you pray. You say, God, help me through another week. This week's going to be different. I'm going to get it this week, God. You're going to give me the revelation this week. You're going to give me the understanding this week to overcome this thing that keeps tripping me up. But that's not where we're supposed to live as Christians. Do you understand that? Salvation is an aspect of living the Christian life. But there's also the power side of this, where we walk in the power and the authority. And grace is not just to cover us, but grace also enables us to live a life that we could not live before without Jesus. So let me read this to you. I'm trying to stop, but this is so good, and I didn't get to preach last week, so I'm making up for it right now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We quote this, we say this over and over again. But do we really believe it? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Now, how do we get in Christ? I just laid that out to you. We're born again, right? Into His kingdom. Now we're in Christ. He or they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all is what the King James says. This says the new has come. Everything is brand new. Now, we take this and apply it to salvation and say, God has saved us. But do we apply this to our jobs at work? Do we apply this when we're at the grocery store? Do we apply this when we're driving in thick traffic? Do we apply this when our children have disobeyed us and not listened? Young people, do you apply this when your parents are nagging and giving you a lecture once again? Or is this something that we just like to quote? Therefore, you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is why I have a problem with people saying that they want to live a lifestyle that goes contrary to the Word of God and call themselves a Christian. Because what I used to be, what I used to do, I no longer am and I no longer do. Why? Because I am a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And what I used to be has been put to death. And what I am now, I have been made alive unto God. I'm different than what I used to be. Not because I repeated some prayer that someone told me to repeat. Not because I just got saved. No, I had an experience with God and His Spirit now lives inside of me. I'm new. And I think sometimes we need to tell ourselves that. His word is nigh. It's in our mouths. That we declare it. I am brand new. One of my spiritual fathers, Pastor Dosik, said that he had been saved and backslid and saved and backslid. And I don't know what your theology on that is. It doesn't really matter. All I know is this is what he told me. Some people say, well, he never really got saved. Well, maybe he never really got saved. But in his theology, he got saved and he backslid and he got saved and he backslid and he got saved and he backslid. He finally says this. That one day he went to church again because he knew he needed it. And he got saved. But he didn't feel saved. He called out to God. He cried. He repented. He did everything he knew he was supposed to do. And when he left the church, didn't feel that much different. But that day, he heard God speak to him. And God said this. You just start telling everybody you're saved. You know what he told God? I don't feel it though. I thought I wasn't supposed to lie. He says, you ain't lying. You're declaring what the word says over you. I'm saved. Everybody he came in contact with, then he said, I'm saved. Yeah, whatever, Pete. If you knew Pastor Dosik before he was a Christian and God delivered him and he was born again, I'm going to tell you something. Most of you people would have saw him turn the other way and walked away and ran. That's just the kind of character he was. That's his words, not mine. He started telling everybody, I'm saved. Whatever, Pete, we heard this before. No, I'm saved. He started declaring that by faith. I'm saved. I'm a new creation. I'm not the same guy. And every time somebody would try to bring up his past, say, that ain't me. That ain't me. You know one thing I like about water baptism? Don't ever forget where you were baptized. Yeah. Because when people try to tell you, well, you know, I remember you, Joe. I remember, no. That Joe, he's in the Tamachi Creek. I buried him. What do you mean by that? Look, I've been born again, and I was raised to new life, and I had a water burial where I put that guy in the grave, and when I come out by the water, I was brand new. I am a new person in Christ Jesus. That old person has passed away. Now, you can remember him if you want to, but I refuse to. That ain't me. You got to get that bold sometimes. If you're struggling with a besetting sin that keeps tripping you up, you get victory over it. You start declaring, I have the victory over it in Jesus' name. I've been set free from this thing. I ain't walking this way anymore because I am a new person in Christ Jesus. I have been born of the Spirit of God, the very Spirit that brought Jesus back to life. And I think that this little petty problem is going to keep me and hold me back. No. It's not going to. It has no power over you. You have the victory in Jesus' name. You walk in the Spirit. That's what it means by walking in the Spirit. Declaring what God has said over you and living it. So 2 Peter says this in closing. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What is his divine power? His Spirit. That's what I'm saying here. His Spirit has given us or granted us everything that pertains or deals with life and godliness. Look, I don't have to live a secular life and then be a Christian over here. The power of God has given me everything I need to do both at the same time. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. That's Jesus Christ. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Did you hear that? We have escaped the corruption of this world. I am not a corrupt Christian. It's impossible. You cannot be that. I'm not corrupted. I'm not. I am a Christian who's been set free and escaped the corruption of this world. And now I live in his divine nature. Not the nature of the sinful man. This is where everybody misses it in our generation. This is where they miss it. Well, you know, I struggle with... No, that is your carnal nature. And you're supposed to be living in his divine nature. Well, but, you know, Pastor, we're allowed to make some excuses for our life. If you want to just be saved, yeah, go ahead and make excuses. I don't want to just be saved. I don't want to be the damsel in distress that has to be calling for help every time I've gotten myself into a mess again because of my choices that I have made. I want to live an overcoming life by the power of the Spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells me I can. This is how bold I am about this church. I don't care what preacher, I don't care what pastor, I don't care what personality that you think is so great and so awesome and what teaching they give you. I'm so sick of people following people. I don't care what they say. I don't care how much you like them. I don't care how much you love their ministry. If they're telling you that it's okay to do things that the Word of God says it's not okay, then they're wrong. They are not teaching you the truth. Let's stop making allowances and excuses for ourselves and then point the finger at the world while they're sinning. Good preaching, Pastor Joe. Amen. See, we want to make allowances for our sin. Because ours aren't as bad as everybody else's. Are you kidding me? If you committed one, you've committed them all. That's what the Bible says. It's time that we hold ourselves accountable, church. It's time we start living in the divine nature of God. And if we mess up, thank God we have an advocate with the Father. I'm not trying to preach condemnation on you. What I am doing, though, is trying to get the Holy Ghost to convict you. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. If you're condemned, that means you've already been sentenced and you're dead. You may be alive, but you're dead. A conviction means that you've been convinced that something is true. And when we mess up, let's go to our advocate and let's get it right and let's not live in it. You hear me? The church wants to make excuses for people so they can live in it. When my Bible teaches me that I have victory over it. Why would I live in something that Jesus paid for? And he paid big time for it. I want to walk in victory, church. Stand to your feet or I'm going to keep preaching. If you're standing up, I feel sorry for you. So, I'm not preaching condemnation. If we live in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. I want to make that clear because I said it backwards. There's no condemnation. If we walk in the flesh, guess what? Jesus says later on in that chapter of John, you know, we love John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's verse 17. Then verse 18 says this, but if we don't believe, we're already condemned. I'm not preaching condemnation. I'm preaching conviction to you. Oh God, let us live holy and walk holy before you. And let us not just be saved. I don't want to just make it to heaven. I've always been the guy that, man, I want to be an overachiever. You know? I don't want to just scrape by. I don't want to just be on the team. I want to start. That's always been me. Like, I want to be on the field playing, right? Let's not just make it. I believe God's merciful and people get to heaven, but they've missed their destiny. And as a pastor, that grieves me. I want to see people fulfill the reason that God put them here on earth, to understand their purpose. And if we keep playing this game of, oh, God, save me, help me, I'm better now. Oh, God, save me, help me, I'm better now. Then we're so self-focused that we can't see the people around us and fulfill our purpose in the kingdom of God. See, this message this morning, you may be thinking, well, I got this, Pastor, I got this. Do you? First of all, do you really have it? And second of all, then are you sharing it with others? Or are you just trying to get them saved so that you can mark in a little another notch and say, look what I did? No, first of all, we don't do it. The Holy Spirit does it. And second of all, that's a life. That's a person. Let's not leave them with a false impression that everything's okay now because I prayed this little prayer with somebody. No, there's an expectation that now I live differently because the Spirit of God is in me. Let's not make it so easy for people to get saved. And let's make it so that people really do get saved. Amen? Lisha, if you can come back to the piano. Father, I thank you, Lord, right now. I thank you that your hand has been upon this word and your Spirit's been working through this word. God, I thank you that you've been stirring hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in here that doesn't really know you personally, that your Spirit would draw them right now. They would come to a born-again experience in you. Not just pray a little prayer, not even just cry tears of repentance, but really turn their heart away from those things and turn their heart to you. Whether they're in the building or watching online, God, let them come to that revelation knowledge that Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord. Now, God, I pray for those of us that we know this, we've received this, but as I was reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 earlier in the service, your word also says that if we hide this gospel, it's hidden from those that don't know it, not from us that already have received it. So, Father, I pray right now that you would help us not hide this. Help us to speak clearly and make it plain and cause people that under the power and the unction of your Holy Spirit to receive a born-again experience. For that is what they really need. They don't need to join another club. They don't need to have another membership. That's not what church is about. Let them enter your kingdom, God, by seeing your kingdom, by declaring that you're their Lord, and believing that you are raised from the dead and having an experience with you where your Spirit lives inside of them now. Father, I pray that you would help us to relay this message clearly to the people around us. Help us not to pervert it. Help us not to change it. Help us just to speak your truth in love. And by your love, see people's lives transformed and changed by your power. Strengthen us. Give us the boldness, God, I pray right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I want to invite you to come to the front and pray. You can stand, you can kneel. Maybe you just want to do it in your seat, but I think it's better if you step out in faith and come forward. Maybe you need a touch from God. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness of some things. That's okay. Like I said, there's no condemnation here. Maybe you just need to say, okay, God, I'm going to commit to you. like never before, that I am going to speak forth your word. But if you need to respond, come and respond right now. Let God touch your heart as they sing.
Here's my life, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit comes in. The Word says quickens or awakens our mortal, these fleshly bodies. Your Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, purifies us and cleanses us, makes us brand new. Thank you for newness, God, in us. I thank you for a commitment to living that newness. And I thank you that your Holy Spirit not only helps rescue us and clean us, but he keeps us, Lord. I thank you for that keeping power, that we can continue to walk with you. It's not that we're striving, Lord. It's not that we have to try within ourselves, but it becomes part of who we are. Your divine nature becomes our nature. We begin to live in the supernatural, and that becomes natural to us. And Father, I pray that you would help us to live there. Not just for us. Forgive us for our selfish Christianity. Forgive us of only thinking about ourselves. But God, for the purpose of why we are here, and that is to share your great message with everyone else we come in contact with. God, I thank you that we're going to leave here with boldness to proclaim your love so that we can walk in your excellence and to share your truth. Father, I pray you'll guard our hearts. There are some people who reject your message. They're not rejecting us, but they're rejecting you, Father. And I pray that you would help us to love them no matter what, regardless. Help us to stay focused and love people. God, I thank you for those who will receive it. As we open our mouths, they will receive your truth and be transformed and changed. Father, we leave this place refreshed, renewed, but also quickened and challenged and provoked to go out this week and to build your kingdom. And we will do that by the power and the authority of your Spirit. I thank you for enabling us by your grace and by your Spirit to do these things. Now, Father, we pray a blessing upon every home. We rebuke the destroyer. We plead the blood of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of fear, and we declare power, love, and a sound mind, discipline in our lives, Lord. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity, and we hold fast to those stripes that you bore on your back. We declare healing right now. We rebuke the spirit of heaviness, and we put on the garment of praise, Lord. We will praise you. We will praise you even when things are hard. We will praise you. God, I rebuke the devourer, for you said you would rebuke the devourer if we gave. And we give of ourselves. We give of our money. We give of our lives. And we know that the seeds that we've planted will bring forth a harvest, Lord. We thank you for souls coming to your kingdom. We thank you that prodigals are coming to themselves and returning. God, we thank you for the finances that are being brought into the house to do the work of the gospel and complete your word, Lord, so it would go forth. God, I thank you for leaders that are rising up in this generation. Whether they are young or old, you're raising up leaders right now to bring Jesus to the world. We declare it to be so in this church, and we thank you for it. I thank you for your hand of blessing upon every family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. You have a wonderful Sunday. We love you.